your word, it's powerful. Your word is truth. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you that we get to see your word in our lives, Lord, not just on pages that we read, but we get to experience the words, Lord, in our lives. We get to experience that truth when it's needed most. Father, thank you for the joy of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we can cling to it. We can cling to connecting and communicating with you and being intimate with you when we need you most, Lord. Thank you, Father, that it's not just words that are spoken out in thin air, but Lord, you receive, you hear, you respond, you lead, you summon, you talk to us, you share your heart with us, you share your truth. So, Father, as we come to your word, Lord, we ask that we would see something different in our lives because of the truth of your word being lived out. Share with us now. Get me out of the way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, guys, one of the things I was thinking about as I was getting ready for this message was, if you want to check kind of, you know how if you have a car, you need to check the oil and make sure everything's running. If you check the oil and fill it with gas, keep it oiled up, it runs smooth for the most part. If we want to check the health of our lives, of our spiritual life with the Lord, one of the things that we can check on that's as necessary as oil is for the car is our prayer life, is that time that we have of being connected with God. And, a lot of you guys were praying for me this past week, and it was a challenging week for me. There was a lot on our plates, a lot of things that God had us going through as a family, and so thank you for your prayers. But I really got a chance this week to experience that leaning hard on God, of trusting Him, of putting into the practice some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. Guys, we can be surrounded by power, just like, you know, we can be surrounded in our homes or in the church by outlets, but if we don't plug in, we don't receive the power. And so really the prayer is praying to God and hearing from God and connecting intimately with God is experiencing the power of God intimately and personally. And we're going to be looking at that in as we continue to go through the Sermon on the Mount series. And today, we're looking at Matthew 6, 5 through 15. And it starts saying this in verse 5. And when you pray, does it say if you pray? When. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, and to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. I love that. God knows what we need before we ask. And guys, it's not that we're not to pray in public, and it's not that we're to not pray out loud, but guys, there's a idea of praying for me to be lifted up. Look how eloquently I can pray and how well I can speak, and the goal in prayer is not to be noticed for our spirituality. The goal in prayer, I mean, prayer is intimacy with God. And it's to find out His heart, and it's to take the truth of who He is and bring that truth into our lives more and more, and to connect with Him in a way that we can share what's going on with our lives and we can rest and trust in Him. And here it's starting out by telling us what not to do. Don't do this to be seen. Don't do these things to be seen. But you know what? Make it intimate. Make it personal. Make it between you guys, between you and God. And then it says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling. It's not about how many words we can bring. It's not about the amount of what we can share. Have you ever had a, this week, I had a number of times where I was praying with different people. And a big part of our prayer was spent just silently sitting before God, just hearing, just listening, and sharing, and then listening again, and sharing and listening again. And man, it was so powerful, and it's so nice. You know, in intimacy, you can experience silence and not be uncomfortable. But one of the things I notice with praying with God is it's not really silence when you're hearing. In that communication with God, so often we look to speak to God. And communication is speaking and listening. And as my mother said to me growing up, God gave you one mouth and two ears. Think about it, my son. But prayer is not meant to glorify the one praying. It's meant to lift up and to reach out and connect intimately with God. So then in verse 9, we're told what we should do. We're given an example first of what to stay away from, making it about us and being seen. And then he goes into what we should do. This then is how you should pray. Guys, this is powerful, isn't it? This then is how you should pray. And it's saying this is not a formula. This is a way to properly come before your God and to share your heart with him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. We're going through the NIV. Most of us have memorized it in the King James. Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Our. Guys, it's not my Father. It's our. And the joy of that is that we are praying to a God that we come corporately as a family, as a group of people where two or three are gathered. When we pray, we're praying not just on our behalf. We're not just praying from us. We have a fellowship of believers. We are a body of Christ together. And when we pray and when we get other Christians to pray with us, and even when we're by ourselves, it's not just my God, it's our God. And we remember where he stands in relationship to all people. Our Father. You know, Father is an interesting word because it's a very intimate word, isn't it? And Father can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. When I say the word Father, now in my life, I have great joy and pleasure when I hear that word. Before I forgave my earthly father, it was a word that brought up a lot of junk. But this is our Father who is in heaven, our perfect heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven. The beauty of that, Romans 8:15 says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Our Father who art in heaven, we are his children. And we approach God's throne together as his children. He is perfect. He is our perfect heavenly Father. Guys, you know what it's like when you're missing one of your kids and you get to see them for the first time in a while and you just wrap your arms around them and the feeling it is when you get to hold one of your kids and know they're okay and just, man, here they are. Here they are. Guys, that's God has this great love for us. And he's given himself and he died on the cross for us so that we could come and say, Dad, Heavenly Father, Abba, Daddy, That's a very intimate word. Daddy. And remember when you were young and you got to nuzzle in to the parent? You got to nuzzle into your mom or dad or your grandma or your grandpa? Remember when you got to nuzzle in and just feel that security of their arms around you? Abba, Abba, Father. He's perfect. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guys, prayer allows us to focus on God. It allows us to focus on God. And here's the thing. With prayer, we've got both petition, which is petition is saying, God, I'm having a bad day. I've got these needs. And we're connecting with God in that way. It's the prayer. And then there's the thanksgiving, which reminds us that God is faithful. And thanksgiving for what he's done. And that's praise. And so when you're having a bad day, pray. When you're having a good day, praise. When you're having a hard moment, pray and seek him and petition and come to him. When you're having a joyful time, be thankful. What's the one thing that's happening all the time in our walk with the Lord? We're in communion with him. We're talking to him. It's ongoing. It stays. It keeps moving forward. It's not something that we have to always go and separate ourselves and have a time of prayer. There's times for that, and that's extremely important. But having hearts that are full of prayer and where we share the good and the bad moments as they happen with our God. Have you ever seen people in the car and they're jamming and they're singing as they're by themselves in their car? I love doing that. But you know what? There's also times where every once in a while you'll see, and it's not that they're rocking out, but they're talking. And there's times where it looks like, okay, they're talking. There's other times where they're talking and they're crying, and it just, you feel like, man, they're praying. And sometimes as believers, have you ever met somebody and you just knew they were a believer? Man. And there's, when we have those intimate moments with God and that intimacy comes, man, petition and thanksgiving. But pray at all times, and I promise you this, God won't necessarily change the situation that you're in, but deliverance will come. God won't necessarily change the trial that you're in the way you want. Sometimes the trial hits and it knocks us over. And when we pray, it's that standing back up. It's coming back to God, and he's connecting with us and meeting with us right where we need. And it's Abba, Father. The situation doesn't change, but we've now got God walking with us. He's always been walking with us. Now we're taking his arm. Now we're taking his arm. And he's helping us go through the journey that we can't go alone. Then it says this, hallowed be your name. As God is holy, God is intimate and personal. Hallowed be your name. God is holy and God is sovereign. We get to come to a holy and sovereign and all-powerful, almighty God. And yes, we get to be intimate in that Abba Father, but we're coming to that Abba Father who is all-powerful and sovereign and holy. And there should be awe. There should be wonder because he's so great and powerful, and I am not. And there's that sense of, oh God, no matter what's coming at me, you are for me. No matter what's against me, you are for me. I can get through this. You are sovereign. You are holy. You're greater than what I'm standing against. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. You see, the kingdom of God is a powerful thing. And we get to experience God's kingdom in part now. But one day his kingdom will come in full. And his kingdom is here. And we are walking in his kingdom. Guys, as Christians, we are not outside the kingdom of God. We're not experiencing it in full, but we are not outside his kingdom. And so now there's a different way to see things. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, when trial hits, we can see God's hand in the midst of the trial. We can see his plan. We can experience his goodness as we're going through all the junk. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He has authority in heaven and he's brought it to earth. He's in charge. Who's not in charge? Me. Who else isn't in charge? The enemy. Now, does he have an influence in this world? Absolutely. But he only has what God has allowed him to have. And God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We also know that a day is coming, a beautiful day is coming, when we will experience the goodness of God in full, the kingdom of God in full, on earth as it is in heaven. Before all other requests, Christ has us first acknowledge who God is and pray for his will to be done. His will. Have you ever been in a situation where you were praying, God didn't answer then? He answered later, and it wasn't what you wanted him to, how you wanted him to answer. And then time goes on, and you're a little bit annoyed. You're like, really? And then a little more time goes on, and you see all of a sudden his will come into play in ways that you didn't see before. And what you thought was all junk, God was not just blessing, but he was bringing back, he was redeeming and using it for his blessing in not just your life, but the lives of other people. And then you look back and you say, well, God, you knew what you were doing. You knew what you were doing. And what does that cause us to do the next time the challenge comes? To trust. Because we see that he's faithful, even in the times where we're totally broken, completely undone, and having to rest solely on him and his strength and who he is and who we are in him and our identity in Christ. And when we rest there, man, God meets us. We get to see his will. Then he goes on, and all of a sudden the prayer, the theme and the feel of the prayer shifts now. And we see a shift. It's all been focused on who? God. Where it belongs, where we start out. God, his kingdom, all these things. Now we come to give us today our daily bread. After we've spent time focusing on who he is and what he's done, now we come and offer our requests. Give us today our daily bread. Prayer, guys, it needs to be a priority. Prayer has to be a priority. Prayer is intimate communion with God, and prayer is gaining access into his grace. And so when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we're saying, God, I have needs, and he knows, and through his grace, he meets us where we need to be met. Pray that you get God's grace to deal with the problems you're facing. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace. I love that. We can approach God's throne by his grace. And that's what we're doing in prayer, is we're coming to the foot of the throne and understanding who he is and who we are. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In the midst of the problem, in the midst of the concern, in the midst of your brokenness, pray. spend time focused where we need to. And then it not just deals with us and our immediate needs, but our needs with other people. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Let's think about that. We all need to be forgiven because why? We're all guilty. We're all sinners before God. We all need to forgive because we all need forgiveness. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then I'm going to put verses 14 and 15 together with this one, and then we'll hit 13 at the end. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We all need forgiveness. This part of Jesus' prayer says, Lord, let me grow into the kind of person where this really takes hold. Let me grow into the kind of person where I forgive as I've been forgiven, where your standards and my standards come together because you're not moving to me, but I'm moving to you. And I'm starting to live the kind of life where I forgive first. And guys, here's the key about this. We do not forgive because the person that we are forgiving deserves forgiveness. I want to say this again, because if you don't know this personally and intimately, the truth of this will change your life. Living out this truth through the power of Christ in you will change your life and will bring healing to relationships, old pain. We do not forgive someone because they deserve to be forgiven. Did God forgive us? Did he forgive me? Did he forgive you because you deserved it? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive, guys, we are so in need of forgiveness. The thing about forgiveness is this. I can come to God and my heart's not quite right, and I can say words, God. I can say the words of forgiveness without being broken before God. Have you ever been there first before you got to where you really forgave? And then after we've been there, sometimes the reality sets in and we know we need to really forgive. And at least for me, there has been times in my life where I came to, it was like a wall. Because what the offense was so great. And it had hurt me at my very core. And I couldn't forgive the person. And I was literally stuck in this area of knowing in my head that I should forgive, wanting to be saying the words with my mouth, but not with my heart. And I was just stuck in this brokenness. And for me, I had to pray to God, saying, God, I don't want to forgive them because they don't deserve to be forgiven. But I don't deserve to be forgiven. So God, change my heart. Change me. Change me first, because I'm too broken to get there to forgive. Change me so that I can forgive as you forgave me. And then coming to that place where you can finally truly forgive from your soul, from your toes, just forgive. And experiencing the healing at that moment. Because, guys, what happens with unforgiveness? If something happens, especially if it's something done to me, and I hold that and I twist that, and anger becomes bitterness and resentment. And now when I truly forgive, all this junk that not only affects that relationship, for me, the biggest one I've shared with you before, it was my dad. When I was able to forgive from the soul through the power of Christ, when I was ever able to forgive my father, all of a sudden other relationships changed. Because when you hold on to unforgiveness with one person, it affects relationships. because it affects us because of the scripture we just read. The joy of forgiveness. Guys, it is powerful. And my prayer here is that if anybody's experiencing unforgiveness, that there would be great deliverance. And then verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The wording on this is interesting. As you lead us, protect us from falling into temptation. God, as you are leading, because God doesn't lead us into temptation. God doesn't bring temptation. He tests. He tests, but he doesn't tempt. He doesn't bring evil. That's the enemy. James 1, 13 through 15. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Guys, God doesn't tempt. He doesn't bring the temptation. That's from the enemy. And so God does allow the testing, and God does bring the test. Why? To bring our hearts to a place where we know we can trust him. What does tempting do? It's trying to defeat you and deceive you. What does testing do? It's trying to show this is right. This is good. One brings blessing, testing. This is the right answer, the right way, the truth, and the life. Tempting is meant to destroy, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so we can have peace in that. Most people, as we close up with this, I want to say this. Is there anybody here who doesn't want to pray more? Most of us want to pray more, right? As Christians, especially, we want to pray more. We want to experience that. So then the question is this, why don't we? Man. There's a lot of emotion in prayer, isn't there? Why? Because it's an intimate relationship. And so if our view, a big part of this prayer is having the right view of God. He's intimate and personal, and he's holy and sovereign and trustworthy. And therefore, when we go to him, we can know that he will never, ever be wrong. He will always lead us into truth. But like any relationship, guess what? It's tough. And in relationships that we have with friends, sometimes we're at fault, sometimes they're at fault. Usually it's both of us at the same time. With God, who's at fault? We are. In this relationship, if there's misunderstanding, if there's sin, it's not on his part. It's on ours. And so that requires a humility to come before God and say, I missed it. Forgive me. When something's wrong in the relationship between us and God, it's that we've turned our backs on God. God doesn't turn his back on his children. But in sin, we turn our backs on God. When we forgive and ask for forgiveness, we're turning back. When we forgive others, what happens? We're having the heart of God towards them. We're saying, whether you choose to receive forgiveness or not, I forgive you. And I forgive you not because you deserve it, because God has called me to do it, and I want to be obedient to God, and I want to honor God, and I don't want to live out the example he's shown me. And so I'm going to forgive. And there's freedom. Guys, you guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what it's different. Have you felt it? When it's come from the heart and you've forgiven somebody, and the relationship from their side may not have changed because you can't control that. But there's a wholeness, and there's a joy, and there's a peace. and there's love. Guys, one of the reasons that we don't pray more when we want to pray more, and I'll end with this, is we don't plan to pray. We don't plan to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Guys, there's times where we need to set aside. Wouldn't it be great if it said, I have a 12 o'clock meeting with John, I have a 2 o'clock meeting with Bob, and I have a 4 o'clock meeting with God. And what if our schedules, what if where we spend our time of our calendars, what if that included our time with God, where we were intentional? Because I don't know about you, but if I'm not intentional, often it's, I really hope to get this done, but it doesn't get done. But if we're intentional, if we put it in our, what about putting it in the calendar? An hour to pray. An hour to listen to God and to respond back. What about starting with 5 minutes or 10 minutes rather than a whole hour? What about building up our ability to begin, you know, because some people, with all the phones and gadgets, people's attention span is not what it used to be. But what if we build up that attention span? What if we are intentional about our time with God, and that's growing? Guys, this is a great example of how we can approach God in intimacy, and that's prayer. My hope and prayer for all of us is that we grow in this area. And what happens with intimacy with God? What does it end in? Healing of relationships with people. Do you see that in the prayer? When we start out with focusing on God, where are our eyes off of? They're off of me. When I'm annoyed, when I'm hurt, when I feel sinned against, when I feel like people are treating me right, I'm focusing on me, me, me. Guys, I've focused on me way too much of my time. And when I'm able to say, God, forgive me, and we go through this prayer time of, God, you are holy, you are good, you are sovereign, and we get our eyes off ourselves and onto him, now all of a sudden our hearts for our brothers and sisters and some who were, there's some struggles, now we have grace. Why? We've received grace in our prayer. And when you receive it, what is natural? You give what you receive. If we don't receive the grace through that prayer of being intimate with God, we got nothing to give other people except ourselves, which is brokenness. And when I've given brokenness, I've given junk. I can tell you that much. But when we hold onto God, he speaks through us, and praise God, things happen. Relationships are restored. Hearts are whole. That's my prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for each one here, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in their lives, Lord. You know, God, that our lives are full of so many things. And Lord, when something big happens, it can be overwhelming, and it affects every aspect, every relationship in our life. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, that we would be still before you, our Father who art in heaven, our focus would be on you. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, that we would be looking forward to what you have for us one day, and knowing that the peace and the joy and perfect union with you will happen one day. Give us this day our daily bread, what we need, Lord. You know what we need, we don't. Lord, forgive us our debts. And may we forgive in such a way that resembles the way you forgive us. Show us how to do that, God. Show us how to know your truth, your light. And Lord, thank you that the evil one has no authority over us as your children. If we are in Christ Jesus through faith by grace, Lord, we are your children, and all he can do is deceive. He can't rule. And so, Lord, we ask right now that you would put a spiritual covering over your people. and that truth would remain in there, and that all the lies of the enemy would be covered and they would pass over. Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are and what you've done. Lord, I just pray that your grace would be seen in new ways through prayer by your people. For your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.